great to be with you today. Many of you have been asking about my family. Hopefully my wife and boys will be with me on Wednesday. That's the current plan, so hopefully they will be able to do that. We have baseball, as you all know, and practice Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. So they will be here on Wednesday, Lord willing. And those of you who would like to meet them, I encourage you to do that. Brady is a mini-me, but looks like his mother. Wyatt looks like me and acts just like his mom. So when we were pregnant with Jennifer's pregnant with Wyatt, we were having a conversation about all the great things that we wish our children would have, you know, all the characteristics. And Jen was picking out different things that she wanted in the child. And I said, you do realize the boy's going to get a few of our bad traits. You do realize that, right? No, she said, I just want the good ones. I said, as long as the child has your brains and my looks, I'm great with it. And she said, she kind of looked at me and I said, look, an ugly smart kid's a whole lot better than anything else. So I said, as long as he's got your brains, we're fine. She's the smart one in the family. So luckily, you know, they kind of got they got brains from their mama, and they got their mama's looks too. So I'm thankful for both of that. So our discussion tonight is a continuation from a discussion that I had with you, believe it or not, last summer. I have been asked the last couple of years to come with you and participate in your summer series, in which you bring in outside people to present different items and ideas. And last year, during the summer, I presented to you Mirror Monster as a particular lesson. And a number of people have commented on that particular lesson. And this lesson is a opposite lesson to that. Because I have found when it comes to mental health, when it comes to the mind of a human, there are extremes. There are opposite sides to life. There are opposite sides to who we are. And as much as we have on one side, that is that of extreme low self-esteem, low view of self, a belief of individual of self being worthless, that you have the opposite to be true as well. And that is the side of arrogance and self-righteousness and self-confidence beyond the scope in which God had intended us to have. So the lesson this evening is intended to deal with the opposite, and that is the side of arrogance, the side of thinking too highly of ourselves and thinking that we are more than we truly are. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn with me to the Scripture reading, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse number 27. 1 Corinthians 11, in verse number 27. I want to take a look at this text. I realize that traditionally when we take a look at this text, it is in the context of discussing the Lord's Supper or thinking about the sacrifice that Jesus gave. The encouragement for us as we partake of the Lord's Supper to avoid the pitfalls that the Corinthian people were having. And going in the Lord's Supper, taking it with the wrong attitude, with the wrong mind, and failing overall to be able to complete the Lord's Supper the way that God had intended. And so as we look at this particular passage, there is some things found here that I think apply not just to our life in partaking of the Lord's Supper, but life in general. So let's read again, beginning with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 through verse 34. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give direction when I come. particular, I want us to notice verse number 28. You'll notice as the Lord's Supper is being presented, the church in Corinth was having an issue. They were focusing on the wrong thing. They were bustling through, if you would, through the Lord's Supper so that they could get to what was really important. That was eating. And when they began to do this, they lost sight of what was truly important, and that was focusing on Jesus and His sacrifice. And so in so doing, they then are forgetting the true purpose of standing before the Lord's Supper, partaking of it, and thinking about themselves. So Paul expresses to them very clearly. In verse number 28, you'll notice it is written as a command. The statement is, "Let a man examine himself." You'll notice, first of all, that is not a suggestion. He is not presenting an idea somebody might perhaps think about. He is not presenting, hey, if you get a chance, if it's not too much trouble. No. In this particular verse, he is saying very clearly, let a person examine himself. The word examine is defined as to test, to prove, to scrutinize, to recognize as genuine after examination, to approve, to deem worthy, according to Thayer's dictionary. When you and I think of examine, what comes to mind? Many of us have many different ideas that come to mind. We think about examine being that of purifying, of looking deep within, finding the very crevices and deep parts of the things that are there. I know when I was in Massachusetts last week, I got to watch cable television. We don't have it at our house, so it's kind of cool when you go to the hotel, you get all these channels, you know, not four. But anyhow, and so one of them I was watching was a show that brought in four blacksmiths. And they were to come in and they were to forge a knife, a sword, something before the judges, and that they would then scrutinize their work. And so the first time, there's four men, and the four men were then required to then build a particular knife blade. And as they were doing it, they had a certain amount of time to be able to do that, and the four men began gathering their tools, they began creating their creations. One of the gentlemen was getting his blade prepared and was heating it up, pounding it out, as you have seen many a times, I am sure. And as he was doing that, he kind of messed up. And he went and dipped his hot blade into oil, which he was supposed to do. But the problem was, is he immediately took it to water and quenched it immediately. Those of you who know much of anything about hot metal and water, it did not do what he had intended to do, which was temper it, make it stronger. Instead, it cracked his blade. They began to judge it, and they were about to begin to test it to see how strong it was. The judges says, "No, thank you. Your blade is cracked. Your blade has a crack here, here, and here. I will not feel safe using this blade." In that particular situation, they were examining for safety. They were examining for impurities. When you and I think about our lives, when we think about day-to-day operation, you and I need to be examining ourselves. Now, we understand, and I don't want to get into a duplicate lesson in the realities of life, and one extreme should not come and coincide with another extreme. We should not be so over-scrutinizing, so overwhelming of ourselves that we miss our good points. But let's face it, whether it is our American culture, whether it means being human or whatever it might be, we have an issue with being too arrogant. We have an issue with overlooking our faults, overlooking our failures, overlooking our issues, but yet being so close to examine that of others. Hold your finger here because we will come back. Move for a moment to Matthew chapter 7. In the Sermon on the Mount, we are told that it is important for us to be mindful of the things that are in our own eye before we begin to discuss the things in others. In verse number 3, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is within your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own? You hypocrite, first take the long log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Examining is part of life. We need to be more critical often of ourselves. Paul is expressing to the Christians here, you have been less examining of yourself. You have been less interested in identifying the struggles that are within your own life. And in so doing, you have now missed one of the greatest feasts, one of the greatest suppers of all time. And you have now reduced it to simply being an inconvenience because you have not examined your own life and relationship to God. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we notice he says, let a person examine himself. Then you'll notice, then in verse number 30, as you continue the text, verse 29, it says, for many of you eat and drink without discerning the body, without the examination, without thinking about what's going on. But now verse 30, many of you are weak, ill, and some of you have fallen asleep, depending on the translation. ESV has the word died. How in the world is he talking to dead people? Unless they've died spiritually. You know, we read this and we know he's not talking to an actual dead person, but he is talking to people who have died spiritually. They are weak spiritually. They are ill spiritually. They are dead spiritually. Because they walk through life, they walk through their relationship with God, unwilling to identify what is truly there. Do we do that? Have you and I gotten to the point in our relationship with God? Have you and I gotten to the point in our day-to-day life that you and I have failed to see our own relationship with the Heavenly Father? Have you and I gotten to the point to where a relationship is that described as being weak, ill, or even dead? Because if you and I are not scrutinizing, if you and I are not watching our relationship with God, it can die and you not know it. That seems to be the case here, is it not? Did the people in Corinth, when they heard this, did they go, oh yeah, we knew that? No. Because the information that he is giving to them is information they need to learn. They needed to realize their place. It reminds me a lot of reading the letters beginning in Revelation. As you notice, the seven churches of Asia, how many of them were given a scathing review, only in the text to be revealed that they didn't even know it. That they didn't even realize that this is the way God saw their relationship. I challenge us all. I challenge all of us to examine it, to look deep within, to find what is our relationship with God, what is our connection with Him. Have I lost my humility? Have I lost my place before Him? Have I lost what I should have gained? Is what I thought was strong actually dead? When you and I think about mental health and mental illness, and we think about the struggles of Christianity, it is true that there is no guarantees. If something wrong is happening in your life, that doesn't guarantee you have a bad relationship with God any more than if everything is going good that you have a good relationship with God. Who knows? But you and I, despite our circumstances, despite the good things, despite the challenges, we must examine our relationships with God. Because as you continue the text, you'll notice what the alternative. He says, verse 31, but if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. Verse 31. If you and I, it would seem in the text, are willing to dive deep within ourselves, if we are willing to scrutinize our relationship, to examine fully our place before God, we are in a better place. Because if we, and I love the way the ESV words this, it says, if we judge ourselves truly, truly would seem to be unbiased. A actual accounting of our life and relationship with God. If we judge ourselves completely, correctly, godly, we are in a better place. Because verse 31 says, we would not be judged. In a perfect world, if you and I find out we have done something wrong, how would we respond? In a perfect world, if you and I truly wanted to live as Christ, if we truly wanted to live as God would want us to live, and we've done something wrong, how would we handle that? If we did something wrong in a perfect world, we would fix it, wouldn't we? We would say, this is a problem. I shouldn't have done that. We become accountable. If it's a person that we've done it to, we go to that person. We make amends. We try to fix the relationship. We try to do what it takes in order to make things better. If we're going to live godly. And that seems to be the assumption here made by Paul. That if I as a Christian examine myself and I find myself weak, ill, or dead, and I judge that truly, I find out, look, this is an issue in my life, and when I do that, I fix it. I take care of it. I identify it. I deal with it. I make it better. I do all that I can for me and myself to get this in a better place. Text says, then we are not judged. It's because we've handled it. But, notice the next verse. It begins with but as well, verse 32. But, when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. If I choose not to find it, if I choose not to deal with it, if I choose not to fix it, God will. If I choose not to look within myself, if I choose not to fix my struggles, if I choose not to truly discern myself, then God's going to take care of it. Text says then that God, the Lord, will judge. The Lord is going to stand and He's going to say, you are guilty. And the righteous God of heaven, who wants things to be right, is going to discipline the person who's done wrong. That's you and me. When God does it, it's a little different than if I take care of it. If I found that this is wrong, I handle it. I take care of it. God's pleased. Everybody's pleased. And on we go. But if God's got to take care of it, if God has to address it with me, if God has to say, look, you have done this, this is what's going to happen. Now we have the judgment of God to deal with. Paul wants them as Christians to do it themselves. Look, you examine yourself. You find your weaknesses. You find your illness. You find what has died spiritually in your life. You get in and you find it and you fix it. But if you don't, God will take care of it for you. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the angry God. And Paul is trying to convince the Corinthian brothers, as I'm trying to convince us today, that it is a whole lot better if you and I will look ourselves in the mirror, take a look at our issues and work to fix them, than to act like they're not there and let God take care of it. Oh, the examples we could pull out from the Bible, isn't it right? Of the ones that took care of it and those that tried to hide it. How many of us right now are thinking about David and Bathsheba about right now? Tried to hide it. God took care of it. On and on the list goes. The thought I want us to consider is the fact that you and I, we have a job to do. It is to look within ourselves. It is to see ourselves. It is to look into that mirror and find the struggles. Many of you are aware of Snow White, 7 Dwarfs. Maybe you've met them, don't know. We're mindful of the wicked stepmother, the witch, can't even remember. All the stories kind of run together in my head, I apologize. But she would go to her mirror, and what would she do? Mirror, mirror, on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? Anybody have a mirror at your house? Full length, maybe? I challenge you. Wake up the next morning, go to the mirror and say, mirror, mirror, on the wall, please show me all my flaws. Because if I am arrogant, and I am self-righteous, and I have a weak, ill, and dead relationship with our Father who is in heaven, I need something to show me how to make it right. I need something in my life to help me be able to view deep within it and to make things better. So what happens when we do this? Number one, when we choose to do this, we are able to look ourselves in the mirror and say, I owe God the best I've got. And until I am willing to humble myself, lower myself, I cannot serve Him with my best. When I am critical of myself in a healthy manner, I will find myself being humble with other people. When I discuss, when I talk, when I deal with others, I will find myself more humble if I will see myself in the right light. Think for a moment of Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 5. Isaiah chapter 6 is an outstanding passage to be able to see how a man should view their connection to God. Many of you know Isaiah standing before the throne of Jesus finds himself in a particular, peculiar perhaps, situation. He looks out and he sees Jesus the Almighty on His throne. And in verse number 5, he says, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Isaiah realized as he stood before the Son of God that he was not worthy to be in that place. If you and I are having an issue with being arrogant, if you and I are having an issue with being narcissistic, fancy word for selfish, you and I need to get back to the throne of Christ to realize that no matter how great we think we are, we, like Isaiah, are lost. A person of unclean lips in the midst of a nation of uncleanliness. We are told not only in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we need to examine ourselves, but we are also told in other places. If you're taking notes, let me give you three passages perhaps to write down. The first one is Haggai chapter 1 in verse number 5. In Haggai's desire to try to get the children of Israel to get back to work in rebuilding Jerusalem, he simply says, consider your ways. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse number 5, at the tail end of the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul, very similar to his passage here, simply says, examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. And then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, and also in verse number 4, in the text of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, not only in considering those who have fallen away, it is important for us to keep watch on ourselves, lest we are also tempted. And in verse number 4, we are to test our own work to make sure it is of God. Mirror, mirror on the wall, please show me all my flaws. As you and I begin to deal with self-evaluation, self-awareness, as we begin to see the struggles that we have in our life, we go through a process that is painful. It is painful because we can get too critical of ourselves. How often have you and I been reminded in a day that we're human? Reminded, we make a mistake and do something wrong, and we're reminded, you're human, you make mistakes. And then you begin to beat yourself up because you made that mistake. Where I work, thank you to electronic medical record, Uncle James and I was talking about that earlier, we have to do group notes if we do a group. So if you do a group note, you have to select the kids that are in it and hit all these buttons and do all of these different things. And every now and then you kind of get backed up and you do two or three groups at once. And before I left to go to Massachusetts, I was doing group notes, catching up on three groups. Unfortunately, as I was doing that, at the very top, I kept the same date for all three groups. It was different dates, different times. I knew better. But I didn't realize it till after I hit the file button. Oh, man. It got done. It was 32 notes in all that I messed up with just three clicks. 32. Each of those had to go by our records person. She had to go back into and correct every single one of them by changing the date to what it should have been. Needless to say, she was not real happy with me. And you know what? I wasn't real happy with me that day either. I went to our one of the ladies that I work with, case manager, told her what happened. Her face kind of changed colors because she had done similar. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I don't like it when I prove that I'm human. Any of y'all feel that way? You get to that point where you realize that you're human. You realize that you're not perfect. You realize, I know, that you're not Jesus. And for many of us, we can become too critical. We can beat ourselves up too much. We need to be critical. I believe we need to keep a look at ourselves in the mirror. I think we need to identify our faults and our failures so that we can correct them. Because when I am self-aware, I see my struggles. I see the difficulties, and we fix them. When you look into yourself and you see what you've done and you see the struggles that you have, you are now no longer ignorant. You can no longer say, well, I didn't know. Now we are challenged to fix a problem. Now we are challenged to correct an issue. Now we are challenged to step outside of the comfort zone and to address our issues. I want us to close by going back to our text for a moment. All of us are going to be evaluated. All will be examined. according to verse number 31, I can be the one that does the examination. When I examine, I fix things. When I examine, I take a look at it. I go through and address it. When you look into your life and you address those items, you fix the issues. Or we can choose to let the Lord examine us. Verse 32 indicates that He will do that and He will examine us. For what purpose? Verse 32 tells us, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. You and I need to be critical. Because if you and I fail to open our eyes to our choices, open our eyes to our failures, open our eyes to our issues and correct them, we will stand before God condemned. All because of what? All for what reason? Because we didn't want to admit that we're human? Because we didn't want to admit that we have faults and we have failures and we do things that are wrong? At the ranch, one of the things that we have to teach from the very beginning is that of accountability. One of the most difficult things, especially with the boys that I work with, is the things that they have to be accountable for doing. But I have noticed in the years working at the ranch that it is more difficult for the adults to be accountable to their kids for their choices than it is for the kids to be accountable for theirs. I hope and I pray that you and I, as adult Christian men and women, that we can do what we're asking and begging our children to do. And that is examine ourselves, be accountable for what we do, correct the mistakes, and change for the better. If that is not what we are doing, we stand condemned. We stand at fault. My challenge for you, my challenge for myself, the challenge for us all: examine ourselves. Open our eyes to our mistakes and correct them humbly, wholeheartedly, caringly. And if you're struggling with things in your life and you are having a hard time right now with the decisions that you're making, I beg you, be accountable. Come forward asking for prayers, asking for forgiveness, asking for the church to circle around to protect you during this time of difficulty. Do not be afraid, but be bold. Be willing to say, I have struggles. I need help to fix it. Let us examine ourselves. As we sing this song, an encouraging word, a hope that we will examine, look deep within ourselves, and ask, if the Lord comes today, are we ready to meet Him? Let us examine ourselves as together we stand and as we sing.